Welcome, everybody. Happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day, isn't it Mother's Day? So the announcements are up on the screen if you want to see those. I was also asked to remind people that we may need some more people to sign up for fellowship for May and June. So if you can do that, we'd appreciate it. And since they gave me the pulpit, I have one announcement too. We have the doors that go out to the parking lot out here. There's two of them. We usually only open one because that's what we all walk through. But sometimes it requires to open the other one to be able to carry something bigger out. If you're ever involved in an activity requiring that second door to be open, if you could please make sure that it gets relatched, I would be very much appreciative. Once or twice a year, we get a call from the burglar or from the alarm company for a burglar alarm because that second door isn't closed, the doors are locked, but somebody pulls out hard enough to pop the doors open, sets off the burglar alarm. I have noticed that it typically happens around the time of the rummage sale, 4th of July thing, and Fun Fest, because that's when the door gets open and people are carrying stuff in. So if you're involved in one of those activities, please make sure the door gets closed. I think the last time they called us, it was after the shredding days were here. So that's my announcement. Thank you very much. Okay. And then if you want to turn to somebody next to you, find somebody that you think looks like a mother, wish them a happy Mother's Day and remind them that God loves all of us the same. Okay. If you'll join me in the call to worship. Come, Lord God, to receive our worship. Come, Holy Spirit, to receive our thanks. Come where you are gathered to celebrate our unity as your body, the church. We are one people, united in the blessing and in suffering, united in joy and in sorrow, united in strength and in weakness. We confess the unity of our faith in you, O Lord, our God. Receive our worship and praise.
Thank you.
may be seated. Please join me in the invocation. Heavenly Father, as a congregation called and set apart for your purpose, we want to rekindle our faith. We desire faith like a child, pure, unshakable, and earnest. Lord Jesus, you call us to become like children, but the world pushes us to mature at a rapid pace for which we are not prepared. In doing so, we certainly lose something. Help us to trust, as a child fully trusts their parents, to love and care for them. Gracious God, help us in our endeavor to wholly place ourselves in your hands, knowing that you will always watch over us. We are your children, not because we are immature and incapable, but because we are your beloved, O God. While our eyes have been opened to the unpleasant nature of this world, we long for the simplicity of childhood, marked by unconditional love, joy, learning, and growth in both trust and obedience. At last, once more, help us to be like those children gracing Jesus' lap and in his arms. Amen.
Okay, so I'll come over here by you if you won't come by me. Okay, so I really love this story, and I've been looking for a chance to tell it to people. So I strained a little to make it fit into a theme for today. But, so here goes. God and moms are a lot alike. So they all both want us to be our best and to do the best that we can and be our best people. And they want us to have hopes and dreams, and they want us to live our lives as joyfully as possible, right? So, this is a story about hopes and dreams and how they kind of fit into God's plan. Okay? So this is a story about three little trees that were growing up in the forest. Right? We all know as trees grow that they provide shelter and food for little animals and the birds and all that stuff. And they get real big that they provide shelter for the other plants and the trees growing up to replace them and things like that. But all good trees know that their most important thing that they can do is be of service to man, because God gave man all the animals and the plants and stuff for our use, so they want to be useful to a man, right? So this is a story about three trees that were growing up, and when they were just saplings, they got together one day, and they were talking about what their hopes and dreams were, okay? First little tree said, when I grow up, my wood is going to be carved into a beautiful treasure chest, and I am going to hold man's greatest treasure. The second little tree said, my wood is going to be made into planks that are going to go on a great sailing ship. And I'm going to go out and sail the seas and be part of man's most memorable voyages. And the third little tree said, I am going to be made into a great throne. I am going to hold man's greatest king. And I'm going to be so beautiful that they're going to make likenesses of me that are going to spread all over the world to help give people hope. Pretty good dreams, huh? So let's see what happened with them. So the first little tree grew up, and they cut him down, and they made his wood into a little feed box. And they put that feed box in a little barn in a little town, and they used it to feed the animals. And that little tree was joyous and happy because he had such a useful thing to do. Not quite a beautiful treasure chest, but at least he wasn't firewood. So he lived his life. The next little tree, who was going to be a great sailing ship and take part in man's most memorable voyages, well, he got made into a little fishing boat that got put on a little inland sea and belonged to some poor fishermen. And he lived joyously because, well, he got to be such a useful thing as to be a fishing boat and help them fishermen. Let's see, and then the third tree was going to be a great throne. Well, he was made into some building timbers. And they gave the building timbers to an army, and that army used it to build temporary things like bridges, or when they set up their camp, they used it for tent poles and things like that. So he had a real useful life to all those soldiers, too. He was happy and lived joyously. And then there came a time when those soldiers got garrisoned in a town, so they just put him in a warehouse and left him there. But he lived joyously because, again, he got to live and be happy things. Isn't that great that they all got to live happy lives? Should we pray? Oh, wait a minute. You want to hear the rest of the story, right? Yeah, there's more to it. Okay. So let's see what happened. The first little tree, remember that first little tree? He was going to be a beautiful treasure chest and hold man's greatest treasure, and he got turned into a little feed box, right? Well, there came a time when that town where that little barn was got so full of people that there wasn't any place for people to stay, so they started staying in sheds and barns and wherever they could find a place. And one little family was staying in the barn where that feed box was. And they had a little baby, and they didn't have a bed to put it in, so they laid it in that little feed box, which they called a manger. And that little tree got to hold man's greatest treasure. Okay? Second little tree, remember he was going to be a great sailing ship and take part in man's most memorable voyages. Well, there came a time when a tired young man came to those fishermen, and he needed a ride across the lake, and the fishermen said, oh, sure, come on, we'll take you. So that man went to sleep in front of the boat, and they went sailing across the little lake to take him to the other side. And a big, huge storm came up. And there were big, huge waves, and it looks like it was going to capsize the little boat and drown everybody. So the fisherman went and woke up the young man and said, oh, save yourself. We're going to be capsized. Do what you can. And that young man got up, and he looked around, and he calmed the waves, and he stopped all the wind, and he saved them so they could sail across the sea. Does that story sound familiar to you? Have you heard that before? See, that little tree got to be part of man's most memorable voyages. Now, the third tree was the building timbers. Remember, it got laid up in a warehouse somewhere. Well, there came a time to pass where some soldiers went and got those timbers out, and they lashed them together to make a cross. And they made a man carry that cross up a big hill, and they nailed it to him and left him there to die. That tree got to hold man's greatest king. And they made likenesses of him, there's some of them in here somewhere, and spread all around the world to give us hope. So, do you guys have hopes of what you want to be when you grow up? Nah, I didn't think so. But anyway, this story tells you you got to remember to hold on to those dreams as long as you can, because you just never know what God's got planned for you. So live your life as joyously as you can, and just have anticipation that something good is going to happen. Okay? Now can we pray? Okay. Gracious Lord, thank you for giving us all of our mothers and the day to celebrate them here on Mother's Day. And thank you for giving us hopes and dreams and allowing us to live our lives joyfully in anticipation of just what it is you have planned for us. Amen.
Isn't that a cute picture? You know, it's funny all the little things that, as a mom, you remember. And the one thing, I don't have memories of that with my children, because I was insane at that stage in my life, and we're running around being crazy. But I do remember when my granddaughter was born, and the first thing I touched on her little body was her tiny little feet, and they were so soft. That is burned into my brain. I so wish I could remember that with my little, you know, with my twins. Now I was running like a crazy person, and that's kind of what us moms do. We run around all the time, and we're busy, and we never realize just how much impact we have, whether you are a mom to children, whether you are a grandmother to other children, whether you're a teacher and you're touching other children's lives. Mothers are so important, and they make such a big impact. So we want to just take a moment to say thank you to every woman who has mothered someone somewhere, whether they're from your own body or they were given to you as a gift from God. Know today, and unfortunately we don't say it enough, that you are truly a gift from God to us. Every one of us.
You're up all night with a screaming baby. You run all day at the speed of light. And every day you feel a little bit less like the beautiful woman you are. So you fall into bed when you run out of hours, and you wonder if anything worth doing got done. Or maybe you don't know, or maybe you've forgotten that you are changing the world one little heartbeat at a time, making history with every touch and every smile. Oh, you may not see it now, but I believe the time will tell how you are changing the world one little heartbeat at a time. With every I know you can do it. With every tear that you kiss away. So many little things that seem to go unnoticed. They're just like the drops of rain. Over time, they become a river, and you are changing the world one little heartbeat at a time, making history with every touch and every smile. Oh, you may not see it now, but I believe the time will tell how you are changing the world. And you are changing the world one little heartbeat at a time, making history with every touch and every smile. Oh, you may not see it now, but I believe the time will tell how you are changing the world. Oh, you are changing the world one little heartbeat at a time, making history with every touch and every smile. Oh, you may not see it now, but I believe time will tell how you are changing the world one little heartbeat at a time.
Happy Mother's Day, everybody. I love you, Mommy.
Scripture this morning is Philippians 4, 1 through 7. My brothers and sisters, in this way remain strong in the Lord. I love you and long for you. Dear friends, you are my joy and my crown. Here's what I am asking Euodia and Syntyche to do. I'm asking them to work together in the Lord. That's because they both belong to the Lord. My true companion, here is what I ask you to do. Help these women because they have served at my side. They have worked with me to spread the good news. So have Clement and the rest of those who have worked together with me. Their names are all written in the book of life. Always be joyful because you belong to the Lord. I will say it again. Be joyful. Let everyone know how gentle you are. The Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. No matter what happens, tell God about everything. Ask and pray and give thanks to him. Then God's peace will watch over your hearts and your minds. He will do this because you belong to Christ Jesus. God's peace can never be completely understood. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Good morning. This morning's gospel lesson comes from Luke 18, 15 through 17. People were also bringing babies to Jesus. They wanted him to place his hands on the babies. When the disciples saw this, they told the people to stop. But Jesus asked the children to come to him. Let the little children come to me. Don't keep them away. God's kingdom belongs to people like them. What I'm about to tell you is true. Anyone who will not receive God's kingdom like a little child will never enter it. This is the word of God for the people of God. First of all, let me wish all those that are mothers or about to become mothers, Happy Mother's Day. Most of you know me. My name is August. And just a word of, I don't know how to say it, to make you feel better. The 22nd of this month, I go down to O'Hare to bring Pastor Jakes back. So I won't be doing this again. He will be here after the 22nd, but we will be having another guest speaker here next Sunday, which will be, okay, where'd he go? Scott McClellan. He will be up here doing this. Now, if you look in your bulletin, you'll see the title of the message I wish to bring and a little bit about me and why I'm up here first. As it says in the bulletin, I am a certified conference lay speaker. And what that means is I took two courses. Several years ago, I took a course. Actually, I started out many years ago at Gateway, right down the street here, I took a course on the art of public speaking. Why? Believe me, I have no idea. It's very nerve-wracking getting up here, and the instructor told all of us, the hardest thing in the world to do, the scariest thing, is to speak in public. So why am I up here? Because I believe God has instructed me and is helping me to deliver a message that he would like you to hear. And so I ended up taking a basic lay speaker's class, which means I can come up here, be asked to come up here by our local current pastor and take the pulpit for him or her. Then a short time later, I took an advanced lay speaker's class, and just a month or two ago, I took a refresher course on an advanced lay speaker's class, which means now I am allowed to be asked by other pastors, which I have done at a Methodist church in Milwaukee for Pastor Katie Jones, who is now a district superintendent, And I've also, believe it or not, accidentally let it slip that I was a lay speaker to a Lutheran pastor down in Durand, Illinois. And he says, oh, I'm going out of town for 3 weeks. Can you take one of those weeks? Well, one of the gentlemen that has helped instruct me on what I am to do and being the conference president for the men for 8 years, I asked him, am I allowed to speak in a Lutheran church? And his answer was, as long as, it depends on how many of the Lutherans you convert to Methodism. I don't know how many I converted, but this was a very similar talk that I gave down there. You won't hear the same one, and you won't hear the same one I gave many years ago at First Church in Racine, because when I'm sitting back here, before I get up here, just before I step up here, I ask God, I say a small prayer, and I ask God to come into me, come into my heart, and bring me the words that he wants you to hear, not what I think you should hear or that I want you to hear. And so my talk message today, and I never call it a sermon, I always call it a message, because I'm not an ordained minister, so I call it a message. So my message today is on faith. If you look in your bulletin, it says the faith of a child. And I asked Pastor to come up with the messages, the scriptures and stuff that we read. So I won't be going on a lot of that, but I won't be going on Mother's Day either. The message will not be on Mother's Day, but it'll be on faith. And a while back, when Pastor Katie Jones, was going to become a pastor, she interviewed me for her thesis she was doing. And she asked me one question. I didn't have a real solid answer for it at the time. Where does my faith come from? And the only answer that I had for her at the time was right here. You won't be hearing me talk about authors like the guy that started Saddleback Church or any of these other really big churches or anything, or Oral Roberts or anybody else. All of my information and my feelings come from here. These people that wrote these books are the authors that I turn to. And this right here is the MacArthur Study Bible. If I come to a scripture that I'm really not sure how to describe it or what it means, the crux of it, I look in here, because the bottom half of the book is all introduction to his explanation, MacArthur's explanation of what that scripture means, because he studied it in three different languages and then wrote this book. And I'd like to read one of the things I go to, which is in the front of the book, and I've printed it out, and I like to read this every once in a while because it helps me. The Bible. This book contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrine is holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, read it to believe it to be saved, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here heaven is open and the gates of hell are disclosed. Christ is the grand subject, our good its design, and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, health to the soul, and a river of pleasure. It is given to you here in this life, will be open to you at judgment, and is established forever. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and condemn all who trifle with its contents. For this reason, we also thank God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you welcomed it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which also effectively works in you who believe. I like to read that once in a while to help me get back on track if something happens in my life or whatever. And I wanted to know a little bit more about faith. It's easy to say that word. I have faith. We have faith. But what does that word really mean? And I know if I asked each one of you to write a sentence about what you feel the definition of faith is, we come up with almost a different version for every person here. So I went to Daniel Webster, not directly, but to his book and looked it up. And here's what I come up with. Faith. Just what does that word bring to mind when you hear it? Well, let's see what Daniel Webster has to say on the subject. First, it's a noun. Confidence in or dependence on a person, statement, or thing as trustworthy. Two, belief without need of certain proof. Belief in God or in the scriptures or other religious writings. That was in the dictionary. A system of religious belief. Anything giving adherence or credence. Allegiance. Then it said to look up the word belief, so I did. Well, let's see what that has to say. Belief. Acceptance of the truth or actuality of anything without certain proof. Something held to be true or actual. Trust in another person. Confidence. Or a doctrine or creed. Now, I remember as a child, I think I was in about sixth or seventh grade, and on the way to school, I was, back then, my parents raised us Lutheran. And I used to go to Friedens Lutheran School in Kenosha on about 20th Avenue and 51st Street, okay? Walking to school, it was maybe a little over half a mile or whatever. But every once in a while, this really, really big kid would come and bug me. Well, one day my dad was home for lunch. All of us kids, all of our friends, called my parents Ma and Pa. Well, I'm sitting there. I went home for lunch, and I happened to tell my dad about it, told Pa about it. And he said, well, just go to school. Don't worry about it. Everything will be okay. Well, on the way to school, sure enough, that kid come up to me and started picking on me and pushing me around a little bit. And all of a sudden, I heard a squeal of tires. I looked to my left, and there's a green and black Nash Rambler, my dad's car, come to a stop. He jumped out, come up to that kid, and believe it or not, The kid was a head taller than my dad. But my dad, Pa walked up to him and told him, "You leave my son alone from now on." Well, he proceeded to tell my dad that I had a smart mouth, and I'm not going to deny that because maybe it's true. Maybe back then I did. It wasn't really the, you know, anyhow. We'll leave that for now. But he told the kid, "You'll never bother him again." Believe it or not, the kid didn't. Later on, when I saw my dad at home, I said, "Pa, that kid was so big. Weren't you worried? Weren't you scared?" He said, "August, the bigger they are, the harder they fall, and he wasn't going to mess with my son." From then on, I really knew. I never knew the word faith. I never knew this word back then, really. But now that after I thought about it, and years later, and come to church and becoming a Christian, and also doing sermons or messages, I then had faith in my father. I knew whenever I needed him, if I needed him, he would be there. And we can have faith in our father. This one. He'll be there for us. The answer might not always be yes when we ask him for something. But it won't always be no either. I have several references. If you want to look up faith in the Bible, different people that had faith, this is going to be nothing about the scriptures that we read, but however, I like to touch on different people that I read in the Bible that I would like to pray and hope my faith could grow, maybe hopefully close to what some of these people did. And some of the notes I have are a fiery furnace. Well, we know what that is. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Say that five times real fast. My father loved me when he gave me the name August. Thank you. Thank you. And their faith kept them. Their faith was so strong, they believed that even if God didn't save them, if they weren't saved, they would be with him. Then I have another note. Daniel in the lion's den. He was told not to pray, as was Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I'm sorry, our God says pray to only him, not to anybody else. He was thrown in the lion's den, and all he did is pray. The lion's mouths were kept shut. Now, someone tried to say, I heard him say, well, here's what I think happened. Daniel was so small, so skinny, the lions knew there wasn't a lot to eat there, so they didn't bother him. I'm sorry. I just can't go with that. God, the Bible says, God came down, stopped the lions, held their mouth shut, didn't allow them to move, and saved Daniel. And when the guards were thrown in, then the lions were allowed to be let loose by God. God let them loose. And how about Noah? God asked Noah to build a boat. Really? Has anybody seen that movie? Trying to think of it. Evan Almighty? God asked him to build a boat in the middle of Arlington, Maryland. Okay, Silver Spring, Maryland, or whatever. Okay, he eventually did it. And Noah did it too, but he didn't question him. Evan kept questioning him, and we see how that turned out. Don't question God. God knows what he's doing. And Noah did it, saved his family, and we're here today because of that. as I think of my faith, it wasn't as strong as it is right now. And when Katie Jones asked me about that, about where my faith comes from, I eventually, a friend of mine down in Kenosha, when I was still going there, back in, I think it was 98 or 99, asked me to go to Promise Keepers with him. And I kept hee-hawing around. He carried around three different Bibles. I never carried one. But I went to church every Sunday. And I kept hee-hawing around, him hawing around, and finally one day he said, I got to know so I can get the tickets and plan. And I said, okay, I'll make you a deal. I'll go if I drive. I'm a professional driver, so I got a big van, and I can drive us down there. Oh, you're on. We went down there, Soldiers Field. Never been to a football field before. Or last time I was at a game, I went and, where was it? It was here in Milwaukee. The Braves played, and they lost, so I never went again. But anyhow, I went there, went to Promise Keepers. 35,000 men praising God, singing hymns, and that's why I don't sing back here. You don't want to hear me sing. But with 30,000 men, they did a jumbotron connection with a group of Promise Keepers that were meeting in Washington, the state of Washington, and they were on the big jumbotrons all around the stadium. And they sang my favorite hymn. Oh, my God. God is up there like this, holding his ears while I'm singing because nobody could hear me amongst 70,000 men from there and here singing, A Mighty Fortress is Our God. I belted it out. Well, that day, they had an altar call the first day. I did not go to the front. And my friend Harry, that asked me to go, is standing down in front, and he keeps looking back, waiting for me to come down front and make a pledge to turn my life over. I didn't go down. Don't worry, there's more to the story. Him and I, the next day, are going to a concession stand. We bought something to eat and a soda, and as we're on our way back, I look ahead of me and I see a prayer tent. And I say, Harry, can I still make that commitment? He goes, yeah, hey, oh, look, here's a prayer tent. I didn't tell him until about 20 years later that I saw the prayer tent coming and decided to make this decision. We went in there and said a prayer, and I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to God as I understand him. And what a lot of people don't know, but I'm not ashamed or embarrassed, I lost track how many AA meetings I went to years ago. But God is my higher power. I choose him as my higher power. And he has kept me sober and dry since September 22nd. And, oh, by the way, 1970. About a year after I came home from Vietnam, I finally quit drinking. But that's when my faith started growing, when I went to Promise Keepers. And one more little bit, when I think of it, years ago I was, what's it going to be like when I go to heaven? What's it going to be like when I die? How many times have we heard the Christmas story if we go to church all the time? I've been a Methodist for over 20, 25 years now. So I've heard that many times at least. How about the Easter story about the crucifixion and the resurrection? I've heard the same thing that many times or more. But apparently I never listened, because all of a sudden, Pastor Larry Gable, when he was down in Kenosha when I was there, he was there for 3 years, did a sermon on Easter, and they had 12 men up in the pulpit reenacting the the Last Supper, and it was titled, "Is It I, Lord?" And each disciple said something and then asked Jesus, "Is it I, Lord? Am I the one that's going to betray you?" Well, when Pastor Larry spoke, I heard something apparently for the first time, that when the thieves on the cross, the one told Jesus, if you are him, if you are the Christ, get us down from here. Save us all three of us. And the other one, what did he tell him? Told him to shut up. He didn't do anything wrong. We belong here. And he asked Jesus to remember him. And this one Easter Sunday with Pastor Larry Gable, I heard these words, and they must have really sunk in, because my faith went from here way up here. Today, not tomorrow, not next month, not 5 million years from now or 10,000 years from now when I come back, today you will be with me in paradise. That's why my faith has grown. In fact, there was a lady up in Berlin, Wisconsin. Her and I went to numerous Methodist sermons whenever I was up there for the weekend. And there was one church up there, a little bitty white church. I wanted to go to different churches because I was the conference president, and I wanted to meet different people, different pastors, different men, let them know who I was. And if they needed help, I'd come back and talk with their men. She wanted to go to this one church because it had this lady pastor that she really liked. And she was dying of cancer, the lady I was seeing. And when we went to her church, this other lady's church, the pastor looked at Evelyn and says, "Can I tell them your story?" And Evelyn nodded, "Yeah." And she proceeded to tell the congregation, "Evelyn is dying of cancer. But you know what? She's not afraid. She's looking forward to it. She's going to be with Christ and her family. And she knows it. And she is not afraid." Well, when I went to the funeral, my friend Victor down in Kenosha drove me up to the funeral in a blizzard. And we were there, and her cousin come up to me, and he said, "August, our family wants you to know that your faith with her helped her faith grow. You were instrumental in helping to build her faith up so she could face what was coming." Wow. I can do no less. I can believe no less. I heard somewhere, I don't remember where it was or when it was, that the Apostle Peter was walking through the garden with Jesus. Just walking through the garden, talking with him, listening to him. And ever since my faith has grown, I now am looking forward to the time I will be walking through that garden with him and talking with him and listening. Hopefully I will listen more than I talk. Yes, there'll be questions, and he'll have the answers. There's a lot of questions that aren't answered in here. But when we see him, he will have the answers. I hope and pray that this message would help one person, just one of anybody. And I'd like you to know that several pastors, and I've told them all, Pastor Jakes, Brad Vadenfossen, and Pastor Larry Gable, that was down in Kenosha, he's retired now, and his wife, Pastor Joan, just passed away this last year. Dr. Earl Lindsay, he's passed away also. He was the pastor down at First Church when I first started down there. Those four people, and a lot of you here, I want you all to know this, have, like I told Pastor Larry when I met him up at a truck stop in Hudson, Wisconsin, where he was moved to, and I cried after he left because I really, really liked him and missed him. And I told him, and I told these other pastors, you have helped me with my faith to move so many steps closer to the cross in my faith. I pray that all of you can have that kind of faith so that when the time comes, we will all be together again. And all of God's people said, Amen. Come to the time where we pray and think of our friends that are sick or that we'd like to pray for. Does anybody have a prayer request?
I want to thank everybody for praying for Linda. She's not here today again. The asthma seems to be, it comes and goes, but since the accident has been a little worse, maybe she can, some prayers to help her get feeling better. Thank you.
With that, if we'll have a silent prayer, please. Most gracious and loving Father, we come to you today to ask you to be with our friends and our loved ones. Be with Linda as she is recovering. Help her to heal. We miss her. We'd like to have her back here on Sunday again. Help her to heal and become whole again. Be with Pastor Jakes and Esther as they work with the school and the children over there, whom I've met and are beautiful and wonderful kids, and they really look to learn your word and learn more about you. Be with everyone here and those that couldn't be here today. We ask all these things in the name of the Father who taught us when we pray to end with these words. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. We are poor unless God blesses us. We are rich when we offer up what we have to God. Let us receive our morning offering. Please join me in a prayer of dedication. Dear God, we hear your challenge to cast our bread upon waters and see if we will not find it. May you accept our offerings and tithes as affirmations of our faith in you to provide for both our physical and spiritual needs, O God. May you bless these gifts and their usage to further extend your love and care toward our communities and the world in your name. Amen. Thank you. Now, before we do the last hymn, I just have a little story I'd like to tell you. If you look in your hymnal to this hymn number, you'll see on the bottom of the page the author that wrote it. And I found out today from our organist that there is a book that describes a lot of these hymns, how they were originated and why and by whom. But this one really touches home and helps today, fits in today. The gentleman was a businessman and he had work to do, and they were going on vacation, and he sent his wife and four daughters on a ship with the understanding he was going to follow when his work was done. Well, about 2 days later, he got a telegram from his wife. The ship sank. All was lost. In other words, he lost his four daughters, all four of them. He boarded the next ship and headed over to be with her. But on the way there, the captain heard about him, called him up to the bridge, and told him that right about now, we are where that ship went down, where your daughters were lost. He went out on the deck and penned the first verse to this hymn. Thank you. Go in peace. Love the Lord. Ask Him for the faith that all of the people that you heard from in today's lesson, that they had. And also, as you go out, know that you are going out into your mission field. Amen.